Welcome, podcast listeners. You're listening to Teller's Podcast, everyday stories brought to you by everyday people. Have you ever fallen in love? If you have you ever experienced that bolt of electricity that makes you sit up and pay attention? I thought, been in love more than one time. In my early 20s, I met a man whom I believed to be a god. I truly believed that I'd die the day he dumped me. Physically, actually die. Then later, in my late 20s, I met a man and I ended up marrying him. When we met, I thought he was everything. We dated for about a year and then we got married. We stayed married for about 2 years before getting divorced. But neither of these guys or any other person that I've ever met has affected me the way I was affected when I met the man I currently live with. I'd known Russ for a while through mutual friends. And on this particular night, we were at Dooley's in the Valley and we were playing pool and having a beer to celebrate our mate's birthday. Russ was leaving, and as he said goodbye, he moved through the crowd and put his hand on the small of my back. That was it. I was done for. The world turned into a kaleidoscope of colours, and he was the centre. I knew that I had to see him again. I became so impulsive and so crazy in love. Now, 6 years later, although the craziness is gone, that bolt of electricity lives in my heart. I know how ridiculous this sounds. It sounds so corny. But this is what today's show is going to be dedicated to. That bolt of electricity. And what it does to you and what that makes you do. The stupid things we do when we fall in love. And the way that we just keep going back for more and more and more. We've got a story from Kirsty about the day she met the person she fell in love with. And it's called The Day of the Daisy. I don't even remember who else was there the day I first saw Daisy. It was a work meeting at 8 Mile Plains. It was July 1999. I don't know whether I'd seen her before or not, and didn't even wonder about it after. What I believed the minute I laid eyes on her as she walked through the door was that she would be part of my future, or more accurately, she would be my future. It grabbed at me immediately, and the whole sensation left me feeling astonished. It was purely intuitive. Daisy isn't a supermodel or an implausible and mind-blowing beauty that stops people in their tracks, although it's genuinely striking in her own right. Her hair that day was partly pink and partly brown. She had big coloured rings on her fingers that differed greatly from my own. She was wearing worn Blundstones khaki pants and an old t-shirt, and she had tattoos. My line of reasoning being, Daisy at the time, vastly different from me at that point from the people I was normally attracted to. The whole episode then made even less sense to me, and I speculated about it endlessly for days after. It was a peculiar phenomenon. To tell you the truth, I can't now recall how long afterwards it was until I saw Daisy again. I don't think it could have been longer than 2 weeks. I was very interested in seeing what my reaction would be when I saw her again. I was just going through treatment for cancer and dealing with some personal issues that had crept up behind me and smacked me in the back of the head quite unexpectedly, and I didn't believe I was open at that point to someone new coming into my life. Weeks later, I discovered that Daisy coming into my life was not going to be an option anyway, and reprimanded myself for assuming. The thing was, the gut reaction was so distinct in my soul that it was like nothing would stop her in my mind. Seeing her the second time didn't deliver the impact like the first, but the awareness of it was still extremely evident. I spoke to her directly, asking some mindless question that Daisy saw right through about whether or not she was married, using the excuse to ask before because she wore a ring on her wedding finger. Seems she wasn't, but really I just wanted to know if she was straight. Embarrassingly, later that night, while intoxicated, I thought it was a great idea to call her and set about tracking down her phone number. Big mistake, naturally. I did call her while sober from work afterwards to apologise for attempting to call her while drunk and made up some absurd yarn about why I did it. It was then that she delivered the kick in the teeth. "I'm actually with Amelia," she said, knowing I knew exactly who Amelia was because I'd worked with her too. "Oh," I possibly said, "I had no idea." "Yeah, so there's a bit of work gossip for you." "No, I won't say anything. Sorry," I said, stuttered like an idiot. "You're right, mate," was all she said. That was it. Although once after that, I did get a flashy, flirty smile from her that she would possibly deny if asked today. I saw her every couple of weeks or so for the rest of that year and half of the next year in the work setting, and we discussed clients and work issues, and that was, of course, because there was nothing else to discuss. I still felt the same attraction for her, which became a bit obsessive and exasperating, mainly because I couldn't comprehend why I had this strong affection for her, when obviously there was no indication or signal from her whatsoever to confirm its validity. It wasn't about me not coping with rejection at all, or even expecting to get what I wanted. I had no idea what it was about. I was fascinated and drawn to her, though, and I couldn't get past it. She'd even shaved her head and grew it back bleach blonde, and I still wanted her, even knowing she had a partner who glared at me unreceptively when she saw me. I had no intention of trying to come between them. I considered that rude, but I did wish that we could be friends, if nothing else. In August 2000, Daisy would be leaving that work setting to work at a brand new place for the same office I worked for. Call it Providence, fate, or fortune. I would also be transferring my work to that site, but really short term, as others would take over as I phased out and into another role. I was despondent about the fact that I would only have a couple of months left to work with Daisy and thought it might be the end of it without me really knowing what the whole thing was really about. Something had obviously gone haywire somewhere in my perception, or what I came to recognise as my gaydar, my intuitive ability to assess someone's sexuality. In October, the manager of the site where Daisy worked offered me a 5-week acting stint there. I couldn't believe my luck and naturally assumed this was all part of the master plan of retaining some sort of connection there was for me to be near Daisy and therefore part of my life in some manner. I was keyed up about the prospect of finding out over the 5-week period why I had such a relentless feeling about Daisy being part of my future. I tried to get to know her more and found she was easy to like and easy to get along with. There had been a bit of crap with new staff and some issue Daisy was caught up with, and my loyalties landed with her because I'd known her longer than the others and because I'd seen the way she worked for over a year and believed her to be on the up and up. There are some people who have the charm, charisma, gift of the gab and good judgment, and it's not me. Tact, diplomacy, delicacy and discretion are all words in someone else's thesaurus because they're not in mine. Astounding as that seems to me sometimes. Shit comes out of my mouth before I think it through, and worst of all, comes out in a manner that makes me want to crawl under a rock and die, really. I can be a clumsy conversationalist, especially when I fear possible rejection or I'm anxious about what I'm asking. I can come across as discourteous and disrespectful, even though I don't consider myself to be any of that in my head. My intentions are never insolent. I pretend I don't care what I'm asking or that I ought to have what I want, but really I'm shit scared, and that's the truth of it. This happened to me when asking Daisy out on a date that I was pretending was just a game of pool between mates. It was November. I had been managing at the new site for a few weeks. I was having a chat to Daisy about her birthday and what she did for it, and that was when she told me she'd broken up with her partner. She looked washed out, not miserable, even though I could sense she was. While I wasn't happy or pleased about the news, guiltily I felt an opportunity to get close to her and to ask her out. I knew really it was far too soon, but knew also I only had 2 more weeks of working with her, so I panicked. I could see the alarm on her face when I asked if she wanted to go and have a drink and game of pool in the valley. Instinctively, my insides curled up into a ball because I knew better than that and had put her on the spot. She didn't answer right away, which then consolidated my thoughts of poor timing, making me feel mortified and stammer rudely, something tersely like, "Well, do you want to or not?" She said something back, bless her, like, "I guess we should." Bad, so very bad. She called me on my birthday to tell me she was cancelling. I wasn't surprised at all, but I felt crushed. I left the site in December and returned to my old office feeling dejected and depressed. I also felt like an idiot. It was official, I'd become an imbecile. I thought I'd move on and away from it all and dismiss the whole Daisy thing. I was starting to feel like a stalker or something. It was not good for my self-esteem, which had always been reasonably healthy, damn it. In January, I had a call from my boss asking if I would go back to the site because the manager there had become very ill. I was pleased to go back, but had no objective at all at targeting Daisy's affections. I had humiliated myself enough, although little did I know there was another opportunity for me to debase and disgrace myself again, big time this time, and I fucking took it. Over the next few weeks, Daisy and I did become friends. She even asked me to have a beer with her once and hooked me up with a friend of hers who liked to play tennis. On a rare occasion, Daisy would even come and have a hit with us. Thank God, a rare occasion, though, because she was a really terrible tennis player. While out with friends of Daisy's and Dakota, someone Daisy, great, had tried to set me up with, I got drunk and made a pass at Daisy. How fucking unbelievably disgraceful. It was hideous, and I can't bear to think about it still. I ended up making a fool of myself and going home with Dakota for the night. Jesus, how do you come back from that? You don't, that's what. You never do. I mean, I was out to lunch. I called her the next day, stalker music in the background if that exists, and asked her if I could drop over to her house. Keep pushing, loser, and see her about a work thing. Oh my God. It was crap, but I had to see her to make it all right. I didn't want her to hate me, and I thought she wouldn't let me come over if I just said I wanted to come over and apologise for my out-of-nature actions. She let me come over. I apologised. She said she didn't think it had been my character, and I couldn't have thought more of her than I did right then for the understanding I didn't really deserve. A week later, I started dating a speech pathologist from Port Macquarie. She let me know quickly that she was keen on a relationship, and I let her know just as rapidly that I had feelings for someone else and even told her her name. I knew there was no future whatsoever for Daisy and I, but knew that while I could have a fling with this speechy, I would never make a real commitment, while I still feel like I did. I ended the connection with the speechy after 3 months. It just wasn't right. During 2001, Daisy and I became better friends. At the back of my mind, I continued to have feelings for her, but was happy enough that we got on. We occasionally went and had a beer together, and while we didn't really hang out heaps, I was amused by her and loved being around her. We spoke about our exes and we spoke shit, and that's how it was. I also started dating, in a sense, her friend Dakota, although that was always a bit of a weird relationship, and Dakota always understood, I think, that my affections were with Daisy. She reminded me of that one night when at a party. Daisy was on stage performing some song she had made up and caught me in a besotted stare. Jesus, you still like her, don't you? I didn't respond because I hadn't realised what my face looked like when she caught me watching Daisy, and I knew it was true down deep inside, and was annoyed that she saw it. Later that night, just before Dakota and I was leaving to come home, she told me we couldn't see each other anymore. I think I feigned shock, but I was relieved as hell. By August of 2001, Daisy and I had been spending a lot of time together, going to the movies, drinking and playing, and I adored her. As is Murphy's Law, I just stopped hoping that Daisy and I would someday be an item when she asked me one night while we were both smashed on port if we could kiss. I was dumbfounded and didn't know what to say. In fact, I just stared at her for a while to see if she was taking the piss. I suddenly saw she wasn't, but my hesitation made her rethink her request, and she said, maybe we shouldn't. Bullshit, I said, and planted one smack on her lips. We kissed a lot that night. I was so deliriously happy. What I wasn't happy about was the fact that in 3 weeks she was going to London to live indefinitely, and her purpose for going, among a couple of smaller reasons, was to get Amelia back. I was a bit nervous initially and backed off, but then I have always said I'd rather have a small amount of fucking excellence and deal with the pain of it being over than nothing at all. At that point, I didn't care much about it at all. We would hang out and have fun for 3 weeks, and we did. I took time off work, and we spent nearly 24 hours a day together. The only problem was I fell so in love with her during that time. I knew I'd been in love with her for a while, but the time we spent together substantiated it solidly. She told me she loved me right before she left for London. I don't know if I believed her. I wanted to, and I hoped that it might then bring her back to me, but I didn't expect it. When she left, I was overwhelmed and distraught. I got the flu the day she left and spent a week in bed, which made me feel worse. I missed her incredibly, and I loved her exceptionally. My friends tried to shake me out of the frame of mind I was in and to cheer me up and told me to get on with it. I even kissed someone else to get her out of my head. It didn't work. I hung out for phone calls, emails and postcards. Then one day I got an email telling me her and her ex were getting back together. Fuck. I was sad and upset. I thought, though, that I would always want her for a friend and try to deal with it. After 5 months, Daisy came home. She called me 2 days after she arrived back. I still remember the day I went to see her at her mum's and held on to her for as long as I could without giving away what I felt. The minute I saw her again, I realised I still loved her. I had no idea what happened with her and Amelia, but I knew that they weren't together. We went and played pool and drank beer, and I felt relieved and happy to have her home. 2 weeks later, I asked her if we could give it a go and date, see how it turned out. After the amazing 3 weeks we'd had before she went to London, I thought she might have been happy to date me. She explained that she'd actually met a London chick named Hannah and that Hannah was coming out to see her in 2 months. So she said she would think about us and get back to me. She did get back to me a couple of days later about us and said no. Again, I was devastated at finding out that I was a fucking hopeless idiot that needed to move the fuck on and stop humiliating myself once and for all. A week later, I went to Adelaide to stand as bridesmaid for my ex-girlfriend's wedding. I did the speech, remained sober, smiled and slept with my ex-boyfriend that night. That week following in Adelaide, I sat with another ex-boyfriend and a new girl named Kelly, who was a doctor. It was time to go home. I got on the plane from Adelaide early one morning and slept all the way back. I stepped off in Brisbane feeling more alone than I had in my lifetime, yet free enough to cope with it and understand finally that it was time to get on with my life, devoid of Daisy and the bride. The day was hot and humid, and regardless of feeling alone, I knew Brisbane was home. I was excited and optimistic about standing on my own for once. I really trusted my intuition that day in July 1999 when I first saw Daisy. Or perhaps in the end it was simply that for the first time in my life, my gaydar was switched on, tuned in and spot on. Regardless, as I type this exactly 10 years later, Daisy sleeps next door in our bed, as she has for over 7 years, wearing a wedding ring I put on her finger myself in front of Elvis in Las Vegas in 2005. We are as in love with each other as you can get. Patience is high merit.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. And don't forget, I'd love to hear from you. So if you've got a story to share, email me at tellertoteller@gmail.com. That's teller, T-E-L-L-E-R, 2, the number 2, teller, T-E-L-L-E-R, @gmail.com. Well, until next time. And remember, everyone's got a story and everyone's a teller.